traffic that is generated from this facility is nominal and does not even require a Del Doc review. We will also be enhancing the safety of the ingress and egress to this facility and also to the Compass Point surveying office, which if you look at the site plan, you'll see their parcel next to us. We will be closing their two entrances and closing the frontage of the existing use and putting in one entranceway to both sites. You'll notice in the Compass Point letter of no objection that they have asked for us to put on the record that we will be doing some improvements to their facility and their parking lot. We have agreed to that and have no objection to having that as a condition. I met again with the Wagners, and as a matter of fact, this afternoon we went to the nursery and purchased the trees to screen their backyard. They asked that we plant magnolia trees, and I purchased those magnolia trees today at the nursery, and hopefully they'll be in the next couple of days. So hopefully that concern will be met, and we do not oppose having that placed as a condition either. We'd also ask the commission to impose a restriction on overhead lighting. We do not intend, nor have we ever put in overhead lighting. The only lighting we have is egress lighting at the entry doors on the climate control buildings, and that's required by code, and obviously I don't think anybody would object to that. The only other comment I'd like to make is that this project does not adversely affect the health, welfare, or safety of the surrounding area. It will have no impact on surrounding property values and will have no detrimental effect on the school district while generating revenue for the schools and the county. We'll obviously comply to all county codes that are imposed upon us and will be recorded on the final site plan. One other thing I'd also like to point out, obviously the Compass Point facility is a professional office, operation surveying office. They have numerous commercial vehicles that park at the site and come in and out all day long. Next to them is another professional office building next to a brick Cape Cod that's there, and across the street from us is a warehouse. So I think this is within keeping of the area. I have met with all the neighbors that I possibly could. I've talked to Mr. Keene Klein on the phone numerous times. Spoke with Francis Prettyman and his wife. They tell me they don't object. I've met and spoken with the Wagners numerous times and have met with the Harbison Homeowners Association and have another appointment with them on the 22nd of next week. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Let's see if there's anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schaefer, could you go over why there was no response to the plus comments? I think you touched on it in the beginning, but could you reiterate why that is taking place?
Well, I don't have a good answer for you, is the honest answer. I suspect that when I transitioned from one engineer to another, that got overlooked. However, we obviously cannot get a site plan approved by your professional staff until that issue is resolved.
So are you directing your engineers to prepare a response to
do that first thing in the morning?
Because as you may be aware, that this commission has not acted on a matter when there's either a response to plus to do or when there just hasn't been any work with plus on a project that requires it.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, sir.
They may not need to respond to plus since their square footage doesn't exceed the 75,000 square foot. But they can. I'm not saying that they can't. they should advise Plus that they reduce the size of the impact on the project or the property, and Plus might come back with a real quick response.
And we'll do that first thing in the morning.
Potentially reduce.
And whereabouts are you proposing that the office would be located?
If you look at the site plan, you'll see the entrance, and there's three parking spots. The office is directly in, located at the end of that building. If you see, there's a line across there.
Okay.
And that's a 55 by 20 foot area, two-story. And that's attached directly to a one-story climate-controlled building.
Okay, so that's going to be, you're proposing that would be attached to the building number two, I believe it's noted on my...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And there'll be a mechanized gate across that driveway, approximately where the back line of that office is. We do a fully secured lot with alarms and cameras and entrance keypad in and out. So we can keep the traffic, reduced to just clientele of the facility.
And are you, so the whole perimeter is going to be fenced? Is that what you're proposing?
We would, we propose at this time to fence the macadamed area, which is delineated around the buildings.
Meaning the line that you have around, that's surrounding those buildings is what you would be proposing as
fencing area? We would do a decorative fence across the front for aesthetics purposes, and then a chain link around the backside.
And what would you anticipate your hours and days of operation?
The hours of operation are 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and we typically operate half a day on Saturday, closed on Sunday.
And what about outside storage?
We would like to be able to do outside storage. That's not our really our business. If we're, we can't be in a position of relying upon outside storage. If we did outside storage, we would ask that you only allow us to do it behind those four buildings, so it would protect the neighbors from.
So the area that you have marked is 8.05 acres?
Just behind those four buildings, yes, in that area.
But still in the fenced area?
Yes, if we did do outside storage, we would move the fence back.
And you would be requesting a sign as well?
Yes, sir.
And that would be a lighted or unlighted sign?
We would prefer a lit sign, and we'd comply with the requirements that Lawrence mentioned earlier that you typically impose.
Okay, because as you're aware, with conditional uses in Sussex County, we one of the things that we are able to do is impose certain conditions and stipulations and those, that's partly behind my asking the hours of operation and that sort. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
Just one. How many units is this? I mean, I'm assuming they're individual units. How many units are they?
We haven't done a unit mix. The buildings we, at this point, the buildings that we put up have breakdown walls inside. So if we make a business decision to put in 25 10 by 10s and 35 by 5s, and we find out that the market actually would like to see additional 10 by 10s, we can take out a movable wall and make two 5 by 5s a 10 by 10. I don't have a unit mix at this time. I typically purchase these buildings from Miller Buildings out of Blue Bell, Pennsylvania, and as a service, they provide a best guesstimate of a market of what type of unit mix you would have.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Woody? Apparently you've got other facilities, apparently.
Well, I don't own them at this time. I've sold all of the facilities that I've built in the past.
Okay, but you've been in the business prior. Okay. You talked about outside storage. What What type of ice-sized storage are you talking about?
RVs and possibly boats.
And that's it? I mean...
Yes, yeah.
We don't like to have, we don't usually allow too much outside storage. I don't know if we allow any.
We've done it occasionally, but in not in the last several years, a few years.
When it was part of the application.
Yeah, when it was part of the application, we've allowed it. But I think the last one was on Route 17.
And quite frankly, that's not a large revenue generator anyway.
But
it's not a deal killer.
Okay. And you feel there's a demand in this area for this type of? Okay. And why do you think that?
Well, because of the rooftops in the area and the explosive growth that's occurred along this corridor. We actually built the facility down a long neck, which we sold about a year and a half ago. And this facility would garner a lot of the same clientele as that one. And that one ran at about 98% occupancy.
All right, thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one, I believe one of the neighbor's comments was if there was an expansion, am I correct in saying if the commission approves this conditional use and this use is tried to expand, it would go back to
come
us
back here
and a public hearing? Yes.
Correct.
So no questions.
Okay, Mr. Lang.
There was a question also in one of the letters, maybe two, that what's the height of the buildings proposed? And the second question and part of that same relationship would be, is the apartment proposed to be a second-story apartment above the office or a part of the office?
Lawrence, the last three I've done, the building has the business office on one half of the first floor with a sitting or living room. On the other staff, you go up the side, you go up the stairs, and you have two bedrooms and a eat-in kitchen area.
It'll be two-story.
Yes.
That's all I have.
Did you want to take a quick second to go through the comments and the letters, and because we really don't have any objection to any of the comments? Is that necessary?
I don't think we need to.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Counts, questions?
I guess it's more of a comment. I assume that if the commission and the council were to grant this, there'd have to be a revised site plan because I see some conflict between the proposed site plan and some of the assurances that have been made. For example, it doesn't show a fence. It doesn't. There's paved area within what would be the buffer area requirements and things like that. So.
A site plan
that's consistent with the assurances that have been made here.
Perhaps
if it's approved.
If it's approved, I would suggest that those be made specific conditions too.
Yeah.
So that they come back.
Because there is some conflict in the
plan
right now.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Miller assures me that we meet all of these setback requirements. But obviously,
but just for example,
I don't think there's an issue with setbacks. It's
yeah,
just for like you mentioned about there being a fence, it's not actually shown on the plan.
Sure.
So it would come back to you as a stipulation, and in your final site plan, the fence would need to be there, and the stipulation would need to be stated on the drawing.
That's
so
fine.
I don't think it isn't anything that you haven't mentioned. I don't think.
But they just need to agree
in the end. It all needs to look the same.
Council?
Nothing. Question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Hey. Did I skip you?
He was going a little fast for me.
Oh, okay.
and I missed and I noted, but I forgot to ask when I asked my questions. I need to hear the hours again.
Hours of operation?
We typically operate 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
What hours?
8 till 5.
How about access to the facility, though? Is it 24-hour
access?
Yeah,
if you have a PIN number, you can get in there.
So it's 24-hour access with your key pass.
Yes, sir.
Or card pass, whatever. But in general, the
Saturday
is typically open from 8 to 5 on Monday through Friday.
Yeah, and Saturday we're typically open from 9 to 1. Sunday we're closed.
As far as management being?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
As being able to do office, to run a unit or?
Yeah, I understand. So the 24 hours would actually be by someone that has key pass, they have access to the site.
And in my experience.
That whole facility would be enclosed through the fence, so.
Yes.
It won't affect, necessarily affect the neighboring properties, but that's going to be protected by the fence.
Yes, that's correct. In my experience in the past, you get very little traffic, if any, after dusk.
Well, if you had the off, outside storage of RVs and boats, you may have a more active clientele a certain time of the year when they want to go fishing or crabbing or something of that nature.
Well, quite frankly, probably would not object at all to not having any boats. Would like to have the opportunity to store RVs, and typically the RVs in that area that we do store are there long term, and folks usually go away for a month and come get their RV, and you know, retired couple takes a trip, but the RVs don't move in and out very often. The only boat we ever stored at Long Neck was my father-in-law's, and we never got paid for it.
Imagine that. Anything else, Mr. Lang?
No question.
Okay, counsel. I just have one curious academic question. Are you planning to use Miller's pre-assembled product or a job built, site built?
Well, it's a prefabricated building.
I know, but
they come and erect it on site.
Because they were, at one point, they had a product that actually came to the job erected, and they were selling a tax benefit to it, but I think that came to an end.
I've never seen that product.
Yeah, okay, probably won't anymore, but just a question.
They do a nice job. Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Take a seat nearby, if you would. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1776, Mark Schaefer? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1776? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, sir.
And Mr. Schaefer, if I ask you a couple more questions, I missed these in the beginning, but questions related to water and sewer.
Private septic and private well.
And where might they be located?
The septic tile field will be in that back left-hand corner over there where it says 8.05 acres. And we have done the soil analysis there, and it'll take a standard tile field back there.
And is that not the area where you were considering the RV storage?
Yeah, and obviously we can't park on top of a tile field. But.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That it?
Yep.
All right, sir. We thank you. Any other questions on the commission? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1639, Todd Bariglio.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district. For a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southwest corner of Cedar Grove Road, also known as Road 283, and Plantation Road, also known as Road 275, to be located on 4.711 acres, more or less. On April 6th of 2009, the developer submitted an exhibit booklet that contains an executive summary, which includes a reference to the project team, general information, project data, and an environmental analysis. There are 16 exhibits, which include a copy of the application, an aerial photograph, a boundary and topographic map, a concept sketch plan, a state investment strategies map, an existing land use map, a future land use map, a public water systems map, and a public wastewater systems map. It also includes a soils map, a Tidewater Utilities Incorporated letter of ability to serve, a DLDOT service level evaluation and response, a DLDOT intersection improvements agreement, a Del Dot letter of intent plus comments and a response to plus and proposed findings of fact. We were also, the staff also received by separate cover the Del Dot comments and plus comments, and they are part of the record.
Apologize.
We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District that there are four soil types on this parcel, that the developer will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and that on-site drainage improvements will be required. From the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we were advised that the site is located in the Gosley Creek Planning Area, that Ordinance Number 38 construction will be required, that the current system connection charge rate is $4,132 per equivalent dwelling unit, that service has not been extended to the area at this time, that the site is located within the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. A conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required. Connection to the sewer system is mandatory. That annexation into the district is possible following completion of certain administrative procedures. That the project could receive sewer following an extension of sewer lines to the parcel and completion of certain downstream upgrades by the developer or others. That the proposed development will require developer-installed collection system in accordance with county standards, requirements, and procedures. That the county engineer must approve the connection point. The engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval prior to requesting annexation into the district. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, so we thank you. Once again, if there's anyone here with an interest in this project, there are displays up here up front. Please feel free to come up, circulate, take a look. Feel free to move up closer if you like so you can hear better what's going on. And at the appropriate time, if you wish to speak, you will certainly be given the opportunity to do so. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney of record for application number 1639, which is the application of Todd Briglio for a change.